Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. But you know what? It's Locked On Rams, but I'm down in the Rams Podcast studio. This is the Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams, and it's double bonus week of James Kroger, because I am in his lovely studio here down in San Clemente recording. We came down to watch some football. We got some other things in the works right now that I may tell you guys about in a little bit. Tease, tease, tease. But make sure to go give us both a follow at LA underscore Rambling Bear, at Locked On Rams, at Rams Podcast, at J Kroger 3. With all that out of the way, James, how you doing, bud? Thanks for opening up the doors.
Dude, thanks for coming down. And yeah, this is the third podcast in a row we're recording together. If everybody's not sick of my rambling already, I'm doing a lot better than I was yesterday. I know I did quite a few rants yesterday on Locked On Rams, so thanks again for having me on. Maybe today will be a little bit more optimistic from me.
Yeah, we gotta rant a little bit more. We still got all some right. things to get off our chest. I mean, there was some videos that came out today. The first thing I woke up to was Marcus Peters trending, and I was like, why is Marcus Peters trending? Did he hurt himself? You instantly go there. And then there's videos of him going up into the stands, having a conversation with somebody in the stands. We're going to get to that a little bit later. There was also some videos of him really showing a lackluster effort, making some plays. So we'll talk about that. We're going to hit some pro football focus. We're going to talk some numbers. We're going to play some clips from the Sean McVay press conference and talk about that as well. So we've got a lot to get to. Guys, don't forget to go check us out on Spotify. We're on iTunes, Google Podcasts. So another thing we're going to talk about is your chance to win season tickets to the 2019 Rams schedule. James, if you don't know about that, hang tight. I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later. And then thanks for everyone that joined into the DraftKings contest. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We got another contest coming up this week. I want you guys to get involved with us as we battle and play on DraftKings. So all that good stuff and more. Tuesday's edition. Really excited about that. But let's start with some pro football focused stuff. You know, we like to talk that on the Tuesday edition. And I've got some good ones. I've got some surprising ones. So I want to talk about it. And I want to throw it against James and hear what he has to say on it. But let's start with the offense. And let's talk about a guy we haven't talked about a lot this season. Our offensive line struggled at times, last couple weeks, really, to be honest. But we saw a bright spot in right tackle Rob Havenstein. He was up for the task in facing one of the best defensive lines in the NFL, and he led the Rams in overall grade at 76.9. Again, as we come back to that, it's not the best grade in the house, but we'll take what we can get right now. He allowed only one quarterback pressure on 60 pass-blocking snaps, far better than the three consecutive weeks which he allowed three pressures each. So, James, Rob Havenstein, we don't talk about him much, but he had a pretty good game blocking on the offensive line. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's a nice to shine the light on that in this kind of depressing overall game, because we talk about Jared Goff and how much he struggled. Well, you know, he wasn't getting too much time back there. He wasn't confident behind the offensive line. But you take one chunk of that, a fourth of that line, and point out that they actually did a pretty decent job. You know, shout out to Rob Havenstein. That's great to hear. You know, but we are a team. We, not me. And it's good that he did his piece, because a lot of people on this team didn't do their piece. Even Sean McVay, who typically falls on a sword, recently said in his latest presser that there was, you know, he's not fully taking the blame this time.
Yeah.
And there was other people who contributed to this. So everybody's got to do their job. Rob Havenstein's been consistent, and he did so at home versus the Philadelphia Eagles. So, yeah, props to him. But overall,
a struggle on that line, and they need to improve, because when Jared Goff looks uncomfortable, you can tell. And they start bringing some more pressure. They get some people in his face. He starts getting happy feet, and that's when the inaccurate throws really come. And that's what Jared Goff was really known for early in the season, was he was having really accurate passes and moving the ball down the field. He did neither of those this last week. And I'm glad you brought up McVay in that and talking about him not taking the blame on everything and not so much falling on the knife this time, is kind of said, hey, other people are accountable for things and have to be held accountable for that. So he needs to do that as a coach. I love him as a player's coach and kind of the rah-rah guy and listen, I got your back and I'll take the blame for that. But he does need to step up and go, hey, you need to do better as well. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because seeing that transition in his speech over the last couple games, I mean, his post-game press conference, I've never seen him so, like, mad, like, flat, just, it was weird. And you mentioned it on Monday's episode, but Vinny Bonsignore talked about the quietest he's heard that locker room. And hopefully, for good reasons coming into this game, they'll kind of pick it up. So, the second offensive person we want to shine out is Todd Gurley, but not for what you think. Again, we talked about him, either it was last week or week before, but for the third week in a row, running back Todd Gurley did not allow a single quarterback pressure on five pass-blocking snaps. Gurley has been tasked with staying in as a blocker on 68 pass snaps this season and is currently tied for eighth among running backs with at least 60 pass-blocking snaps with a pass-blocking efficiency of 95.6. With two games to play, Gurley has the highest pass-blocking grade for the season at 79.8. So Gurley as a pass blocker, doing a good job, but as a group, we need our star running back to not have to stay in there 68% of the time to block and go out and do things like catching the ball and running the ball. So I love that he's being efficient there, but it's not the most exciting stat for Todd Gurley. James, do you agree?
Yeah, I love that stat about Todd Gurley, and we've clearly seen all season how effective he is with the pass block. But what worries me about this, with him coming out this game with the knee issue and him currently being day-to-day, is we lack depth in the running back slot right now. Malcolm Brown, who actually is a pretty decent pass blocker himself, he's out as well. So and then we have to rely on Justin Davis with a shoulder issue. You know, he obviously played, but we couldn't really rely on him. And then John Kelly. So these guys don't really strike me as huge pass blockers. They're not quite as bulky as Todd Gurley, and Todd Gurley just knows how to pick up those guys coming in. So obviously, by the stats you named, Todd Gurley's great at that. But what worries me, Bear, about this is we don't have the depth to replace Todd Gurley, one, let alone a running back alone, and he's also our top receiver right now. But two, with that pass block, we don't have anybody behind him who can do that good of a job, which is scary for Jared Goff, already struggling.
No, I totally agree with you. And again, we got to get him back to doing what he does best, running the football. I can't wait till I can give you a pro football focused stat where I said, oh, and then Todd Gurley had yards after the catch most of the season. That's what we're looking for with Todd Gurley, not so much pass blocking. But that was one of the things coming into the season. We talked about the depth, and one of the things that we struggled with was he is good at that. So when John Kelly had to come in, it kind of let the defense know, okay, what are they going to do with this guy in the backfield? Because are they going to trust him to pass block? Are they actually going to hand it to him? So the depth that we talked about yesterday really comes into question. And just to kind of update you guys really quick on the injury of Todd Gurley, McVay also said in his press conference that he's got some swelling and some bruising still. And of course, you're going through an NFL game, especially banging up the knee. But they expect him to be back. Justin Davis is also day-to-day, not sure if he's going to play. McVay always keeping the cards close to the vest, so we'll see how that turns out. James, what we're going to do is we're going to step aside really quick. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back on the other side with our defensive pro football-focused players of the game. We're going to talk some more about this game and then kind of start to turn the pages. We got our crossover tomorrow with Lockdown Cardinals, but more coming up after this. We're going to step aside, get a couple quick words from our sponsors. We'll be right back after this. All right, Rams Nation, as promised, I want to talk to you guys about DraftKings. It's week 16 of the football season. My mind is blown right now. And that means we're running out of time to get in on the action. Every single game matters with huge playoff implications at stake. And you can go a long way for yourself to win huge cash prizes. Single game fantasy football is the new way to play one day fantasy DraftKings, the leader in one day fantasy football. If you're thinking about trying out DraftKings, now is the time. DraftKings has taken fantasy football from just 1 week to just one game, making it easier to draft your lineup. All you have to do is pick six players from a single football game, one captain, and five other players. Your captain, remember, earns 1.5 times the point, so you can go for value with a guy like Josh Reynolds or go star power with a guy like Todd Gurley. It's that simple. Six players, one game. Just stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Guys, go to DraftKings.com or download the app now. Use code LOCKEDON to enter a single game contest for free. All you have to do is deposit $5 and boom, you got a free contest. Come join. We're going to play this week. Don't forget to share with your friends. That's right, the code is Locked On, only on DraftKings, the game inside the game. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Second segment. James Kroger is with us, double dipping this week. We appreciate that, James. And also, make sure to be on a lookout for Rams Podcast. We just had about an hour and a half breakdown of the game, talking deep into details on some of these things, and then also looking ahead to the next matchup. So check that out at Rams Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Everywhere we're on everywhere. Okay, we got it covered. So James, thanks for joining us. And we kind of left off on the Pro Football Focus on the defense side of the ball. So let's get back to that. And we talked about this yesterday. This was my game ball leading the Rams with an overall tackling grade of 87.7 with second year safety John Johnson III. He set a career high in defensive stops with 6. His previous career high was 4. On his 6 defensive stops, 4 of them came in the run game, bringing his total on the season to 17, which is tied for 4th among all safeties. John Johnson is the man.
He certainly is. And I had tweeted from Rams Podcast early on saying John Johnson's our best secondary player on this team right now, and kind of has been. He's been huge in the tackles, always leading the team, as well as Corey Littleton. But, dude, John Johnson III, I think I'd like to trade my Marcus Peters jersey for a John Johnson III.
Yeah, that's a pretty dope one, too. Yeah, I think we're going to talk to those Seahawks podcasters because right now they are 0-2 in the bets. They're still talking a lot of trash, and I know they listen to the podcast, so maybe their ears are perking up right now. But get those jerseys ready. It's about Christmas time. I'll take those any day now. But John Johnson, what a great pick, third-round pick, a guy that a lot of people, when he was selected out of Boston College, people were going, I don't know about that pick, and maybe, you know, we could have done better there, and what a player that he's turned out to be. He's filled in that role and now is just a permanent starter. We talked about it on Rams Podcast that he's really has a Pro Bowl type of year right now and really has a shot to get a nod for his first Pro Bowl. So, you know, good job, John Johnson. Pro Football Focus says you were the best player defensively.
A huge pass deflection in the game with that touchdown. And that was just a matchup of inches, dude. And he really came through on that. That was one of the most impressive things he did. On top of that, continuing to wrap people up. He should maybe give Marcus Peters a few lessons on how to tackle properly. Because Marcus Peters tends to use his arms, and John Johnson, man, hitting low, heavy, using his shoulders, which is really making a huge impact on this defense.
Well, I'm glad you bring up Marcus Peters, because our next highlighted Pro Football Focus guy, and you said maybe he can teach him how to tackle, so I'll let you still live that one up, because we got to talk a little bit more about our guy Marcus Peters after this. But in coverage, for the second week in a row, cornerback Marcus Peters finishes with an overall coverage grade above 80. This time he led all Rams defenders with an 83.7. In 2 game span, Peters has been targeted 8 times on 65 coverage snaps and has allowed a passer rating of only 16.7 into his coverage. That's the 3rd lowest among cornerbacks in that time period. So in coverage, my man has been killing it lately. Yes, effort in tackles, not so much. And actually, someone tagged me on Twitter at Neckfeathers. Go give them a follow. They're a fan of the show. And they shared a tweet that showed a play that Marcus Peters did a great job. It was a Foles kind of deep bomb. Marcus Peters was back there, and he kind of got boxed out behind the defender, but jumped up and smacked the ball down and played a really great play in the secondary. So he did do really great in coverage, and he has been improving that since Talib has been back. But the effort plays. There were other videos going around today where he really just showed no effort. There was one that was after Jared Goff's like really ugly fumble throw, which we didn't get to talk too much about. We did on Rams Podcast. It was that 3rd and 1, and he stumbled. Someone, I think Sullivan stepped on his foot coming out, throws that ugly interception. And then later in that drive, they go down and put up 7 on the board to go up 17. But that touchdown run, Marcus Peters comes up to the line and then just slows down like, I don't want none of that. I'm not trying to go in there and hurt my shoulder and make a tackle.
He acts like we pay him to do one thing and to be that guy who, in the beginning of the season, was leading the NFL since he's been in the league with interceptions. And I believe passes deflected as well. So I think he thinks he's the guy who...
He's the coverage guy.
The coverage guy, and that means he doesn't have to tackle, he doesn't have to have a good attitude, he doesn't have to be a solid leader out there because people like Tlaib, you know, John Johnson will carry the tackles, Tlaib will be that veteran out there. So, Marcus Peters, we don't pay you to do just one thing, man. This is a we, not me type of team, and you were, you know, showing that a little bit more in the beginning, but now, you know, especially with that breakout with the fans that we were talking about, he's just kind of falling apart.
Yeah, let's get into that. And if you guys didn't see, it's, I mean, just Google search Marcus Peters fans and running into stands and you'll find it. He goes up, someone's got a video of him, you know, yelling at a fan from the bench, and then he decides, I'm going to go up there in the Coliseum, the first couple rows. There's some areas that you can walk up into this crowd. So he walked up right next to the guy kind of and was chirping at him like, okay, talk to me now. I'm here now. And obviously the guy was kind of probably got a little quiet because then, you know, got awkward because no one expects that to happen. And we all think, I think at least me personally, I always go back to like Ron Artest. I'm like, how weird is this about to get? But, you know, it's just one of those things. And McVay was talked about it in the press conference. And actually, let's play that clip really quick. Here's McVay responding to Marcus Peters going up in the stands.
I saw the video, got a chance to talk to Marcus. You know, he knows that we've got to be better in those situations and can't allow the, you know, whatever is going on in terms of that dialogue to affect our ability to be focused on what is going on during the game and you know, on the field with our team and how we can stay focused and concentrate on that. And we had a good discussion and he knows that.
Is that the kind of situation where he may have some discipline from the league?
You know, I don't know how the league would look at that. You know, we'll enter those things internally, but the good thing is, like anything else, you know, we had a good dialogue, you know, keep the specifics, you know, between Marcus and myself, but I was pleased with the way that, you know, he was able to communicate what went on, and I trust that these will be things that we'll learn from.
So that's what McVay had to say about it. He kept it kind of quiet. He says they had a good conversation and that afterwards he felt good about it, but he also told him, like, hey, man, we can't be doing that. And it sounds like Marcus Peters understands moving forward, but he's an emotional guy, and you talked about the we, not me, going in and making plays, and we saw a clip of his interview after the game, and they kind of said, hey, you might have blown a shot to get home field advantage all the way through, and he's like, hey, we're going to show up when we need to show up. We're not worried about it. We're not scared, and he kind of had this, you know, my back's against the wall. I'm kind of feeling attacked and kind of came back. So I love his passion. I love his energy. I just want to see it focused onto the field. That type of stuff going up with the crowd can't happen. You should be really focused on going up and making tackles. If he attacked a tackle like he did that fan, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
But unfortunately, a lot of that energy was going elsewhere. So I don't know. I'm bummed out because I do want you to get a Marcus Peters jersey because I think this guy could be awesome long term. You talked about most pass deflections, most interceptions since coming into the league. And we just got to get him focused a little bit more and trying to be a little bit more of a leader. I mean, Tlaib is that guy, and we've seen him improve since he's gotten back, but something's got to change if we're going to win playoff games.
Yeah, and we have to rely on Mr. Wade Phillips to get his team together, this defensive squad, and have them refocus because, you know, it goes to kind of the top. When you see Marcus Peters acting this way and not doing certain fundamental things defensively and this team kind of just relying heavily on a couple players, you got to go to Wade Phillips and say, you know, can we continue to evolve? Can we adjust? And can we improve on these things?
James, I love it. We're going to keep this going, but what we're going to do first, we're going to take a break. Get some words from some of our sponsors. We'll be right back on the other side. Tuesday's edition, live from the Rams Podcast Studio, right after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment. James Kroger, Bear Motter. We are down here in the Rams Podcast Studios, and it feels good to record live in person with you, bud. I can, like, hit you with my elbow. I can tap you. I can go, like, you know, we can do a lot of things out here to really kind of build this up, and I have a great time. I don't know if anyone out there really notices, but for us doing it, it makes it a blast. And I was talking about this on Rams Podcast. For you guys that don't know, we started over at Rams Podcast about 3 years ago, and me and James did about 60 to 70 episodes in a row live in person together. We moved apart, and now we've been doing them basically via Skype call-in sessions, but they're a lot more fun in person. We can drink beer together, we can have a good time,
we can cheers,
get in rants and kind of go off topic, and it's a bunch of fun. But I want to bring us back, and Sean McVay talked today, and they asked him about this little stretch win, because Sean McVay's never lost back-to-back games, as a Rams head coach, and they kind of said, like, what's going on here? How does this mean? So here's Sean McVay kind of talking about the overall state of the Rams, what this means to him, and how we can move forward.
You know, I just think you just haven't played up to the standards that we expect, you know, and I think the other teams have done a nice job. You give credit to those teams. You know, they do a good job throughout the course of the week getting ready to go and being ready as well. So you don't want to take credit away from those guys. But, you know, for us, like we said yesterday, I think it's really important. We're not going to allow two games to define our season. You know, the story isn't written yet, and we've got a say in how we finish that off. I trust the resilient mindset and mentality. And, you know, really what's incredible about, you know, just the way football is, there's 174 plays total in that game yesterday. If you just paused it, you know, we talked about this, you know, I was talking with Bones, and his dad had a great perspective on some different things. If you just paused it right before that last play on the 18-yard line, and you said, how do you feel about this game, not knowing what happened, where, okay, if you end up converting there and then you go for two, if you end up winning that game, how much different is the narrative? But there's still 173 plays prior to that 174th that ultimately didn't lead to us getting it done. So what we try to do is take each play, learn from it, make sure that we do a good job of coaching the players, having an understanding of what we want to get done, how they can execute at a higher level. And then, you know, and if we do that collectively and we do some of those things that we were doing earlier on in the season that don't inhibit our abilities to win football games and play, you know, complementary football, we feel like, well, you know, good things will happen for us moving forward.
All right, so that was Sean McVay, and obviously no big panic buttons. I mean, at one point he says, two games will not define us, and I love that, and they shouldn't. But it's just sucky to go 11-1 and then drop two games. I think you said a crazy stat that they've dropped three out of their last six, and really their points and production has just been down since then. Jared Goff is not looking like the same quarterback right now. Yeah. So the good thing is the captain in control of this ship right now seems to have a good message and continually to build moving forward. You heard it from Marcus Peters when we were talking about it earlier, that he said they're going to play when it really matters, which is kind of one of those weird backhanded things where you're like, well, why aren't you playing right now? Like, if not right now would be a good time to play. But they've got confidence moving forward. Where's your confidence level in this team moving forward?
Well, it's really tough to say, because you think when we're trying to go far, move on into the playoffs and then take a look at the rest of our schedule, because, you know, we need to adjust. We need to change. Jared Goff has not been the guy he was in the beginning of the season. So this offense has so much they need to do. But at the same time, we're looking at two games in a row that's really not challenging at all to us. And that's scary in multiple ways. We saw last year when we sat all the starters against the 49ers and lost, we went into the playoffs not looking very strong at all. So how are we going to approach Todd Gurley knocking that knee issue? How important is he going to be against Arizona and the 49ers? Is Jared Goff, yeah, he's going to be able to score against Arizona, of course, but is he going to be able to evolve and adjust and make improvements in himself that matter when he's facing a way more difficult team? Because for the next 2 weeks, we're not really facing anybody too challenging. We saw the 49ers take the Seahawks into overtime, of course, and beat them, but that doesn't mean anything to this squad. We got to be able to beat teams like Philadelphia and the Bears and, yeah, the Saints. So, you know, moving forward, I'm still not feeling really confident. Even if we have a great game against Arizona, it doesn't make me feel like we're back in any way. So it's kind of tough because we're in a sticky situation where we're playing two B squad teams, C squad teams, and it's not going to really going to be telling of who we are going into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, last year we got to a point where we sat the starters. Weirdly, we may be in another position like this, depending on, we got a Monday night football game going on behind us, and right now Carolina is up by one. We'll see how this thing turns out by the time this podcast is finished, but they're going to have to lose two, and I mean the Saints are going to have to lose two for us to really go back in position. So if they win this week or next week and it gets to that point where that last game of the season may not mean anything, it's going to be interesting though to see what's going to happen, because if we're playing kind of crappy ball, what it might mean is for us to get a chance to get that out of our system. Like, we came back off the bye week pretty bad, so why would you give them another bye week hoping that they would bounce back from that, because we looked a little flat in that Atlanta game last year. So I don't know. There's going to be a lot of things that play into that, and I'm glad you brought that up because I'd like to debate it a little bit. I mean, I think you got to play out the season regardless of your seed. Even if you can't move up, I think you have to play this full season to get the kind of the swagger back.
Yeah, we do. We never bounce back off of a break and come out strong. We don't come out strong out of our bye. And now if we sit anybody, it's not like we're going to go into the playoffs strong. We, like you said, I think we have to keep people in there and just ram it down their throats and see what we can do offensively and make the little adjustments to beat these easy teams. But it's, I think it's kind of an unfortunate situation, our schedule in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, it's weird because I look at it as a blessing in a weird way because, you know, we talked about it on Rams podcast, but, you know, the combined record is 7 wins, I believe. Arizona right now is coming off of a horrible game. They took 6 sacks right away. They end up benching their starting quarterback, Rosen. They have now an 83% chance to get the number one pick in the draft. I mean, they are almost in basically tank mode at this point, but they're not even trying to tank. They're just that bad. So they're 1-6 at home. So going into Arizona, you hope that this is a really bounce back game. And I kind of mentioned this, but I really hope McVay just kind of goes to Jared Goff and says, like, dude, flush everything down the toilet that we've done in the past couple weeks. Let's go. I don't care if you have 4 turnovers this week, but we're throwing the football down the field and we're going to lose on your arm, or we're going to let the defense go win. This team is that bad that we're allowed to like play around a little bit. And I don't mean like goof off and play around, but to try some things out, get that swagger back, let Jared Goff throw the ball down the field, you know, run Todd Gurley, maybe, you know, give him a couple breaks because he's a little banged up, or get John Kelly some action, get some of those guys that are reserves that don't have a lot of experience, get them in and play. But we can't dink around. We got to beat the team.
Yeah, and I think what's going to be key for us early on in order to kind of just, like you said, flush everything and come back and reboot ourselves mentally and with our fundamentals is just having this offense chip away slowly in the beginning of the game. We need to allow Gurley to get 3-5 yards on a first or second down run. We need to have Jared Goff get a few connections with Cooks and Woods early on in the game, even if they're for fairly short passes, so that he gets that chemistry flowing with him. We need him to hook up with Reynolds right away as well, because yes, Reynolds has not been a replacement for Cooper Kupp, and he struggled in the first half a lot in this last game against Philadelphia. So we need Goff to connect with Reynolds right away. And then it'd be nice if we can utilize the tight ends a little bit more and really open things up for us. And on top of that, yeah, utilize the tight ends. And the last thing we need to do is let's get that play action going, because if anybody we can run it against, it's going to be Arizona Cardinals. And if we start running with Todd Gurley early on, we can open up that play action, and we know that this team excels with the play action.
Yeah, and that play action starts with the ground game, so hopefully we can get that moving. And I mean, you talked about the wide receivers and the guys we need to get going. Josh Reynolds, we just saw from the targets, obviously the Rams were going to go his direction, top 2 in the team in targets. So for him to kind of get involved is really important. He need, I mean, 12 targets last game. Only Todd Gurley had more with 13. If teams are going to allow him to get those looks, he's got to convert. He had 5 catches for 70 yards, a lot of those coming in the second half. But we need to get him going early, like you mentioned. And then Everett and Higbee. I mean, they had a decent enough game. Everett kind of got a couple in junk time there, 5 catches on 7 targets. But we need to get those guys involved, because right now, Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods, everyone's focusing on them and saying, we're not going to let you guys beat us. And you're not really giving Todd Gurley the ball, and that's not being productive right now. So our whole offense is thrown off. There is no Cooper Kupp coming back, so there's got to be that third guy to fill in.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's Josh Reynolds' spot to do it. So hopefully we can get him in and have some production there. But we will only see in time.
Yeah, and a lot of those Everett passes were at the beginning of the game where he really lacked on getting out of bounds.
Yeah.
But to kind of continue what you're saying, we've seen these defenses play back on us to prevent the long plays from happening. Well, how can we get better at that? One, the play action. Two, getting the ball to the tight ends a little bit more often, including Josh Reynolds on some of the short passes too.
Well, I'm excited as this game comes up, because it's a much needed crappy team that we get to play, and hopefully some points we can put up. But what we're going to do is we're going to wrap a bow on this one. We're going to call it good. Like I mentioned, we got a Rams podcast coming up. Go give us a follow at @LA_RamblingBear, @JKroger3, Locked On Rams, Rams Podcast. Send some questions in throughout the week. We've got a crossover. It may be up late Wednesday. I'm still trying to get those guys to find a time to get together. Maybe right in the morning on Wednesday. So keep an eye out for that one as well. Then we got Vinny Bonsignor, Serena Morales. If you got questions, send them in. My Facebook group, I love you guys. I got to get back and start interacting with you. It's been crazy with traveling up and down and in the game. So I know you guys have been posting up there. I thank you so much. Don't forget to join us in the DraftKings. I'll be posting that everywhere. I'd love to battle against you. I need some redemption. I think I got like 14th place. So I wish I only had a podcast 5 days a week talking about football every single day, but suck at fantasy. with that positive note, we're out of here. You know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time.
Peace. Peace.